This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Erica von Kleist. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Erica von Kleist. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. Great to have a chance to sit down and talk shop with you. We have a beautiful scene as we record this and looking out the window at Whitefish Lake, sitting here at the lodge at Whitefish Lake and doing this recording in late April 2018. A lot of stuff that we want to get to, and only fitting that we look out at Whitefish Lake, as this is where you are living now, and a huge part of the Flathead Valley music scene. And just to go through some of your accomplishments and some of the things that have brought you along your journey and brought you here to Musician Spotlight. Obviously, your name is going to be very, very familiar to our listeners in the Flathead Valley. Erica is a flautist, saxophonist, pianist, composer, educator, author, and entrepreneur. Originally from, is it West Hartford?
West Hartford, Connecticut.
West Hartford, Connecticut. And we're going to come back to that. Really cut your teeth in the New York jazz scene. And among many accomplishments, the first ever graduate of Juilliard College with a jazz degree, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the first bachelor's degree.
First bachelor's degree, jazz. Okay. Yeah. And over the next decade, performing and recording a number of different ensembles, including some Grammy-winning albums from the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra, Jazz at Lincoln Center, and many others, two ASCAP Young Jazz Composer Awards, several mentions in the Downbeat magazine polls, and but wait, I'm not done. She's also authored a book in jazz theory, lectured across the country, and launched two sister companies, and we're going to talk about that as well, Montana Artist Collective and Groove Trail. And, oh, by the way, you've released three albums of your very own,
mm-hmm.
So three albums under your own name. All that said, wonderful accomplishments. Now let's go back to West Hartford, Connecticut, and let's talk about where this all started for you musically.
Well, I began playing flute when I was 9. I remember it was a sunny day in the springtime, and I was bored, just kind of checking out what was in the back of our cupboards in our house, and found my mom's old flute from when she was a kid. And I just started blowing on it. I figured out how to put it together. And my first thing I learned on flute was the Little Mermaid. Da 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 da. That's all I knew, but I just played that over and over. Anyway, Q Middle School, the jazz band in middle school was really fun, and I wanted to be a part of it. And you couldn't hear the flute players. And I figured, if I'm going to bother being in jazz band, I want to be heard. So I switched to saxophone and carried that into high school, was a part of a wonderful jazz program at the Hall High School in West Hartford, Connecticut, a public school with a phenomenal arts program. And met lots of incredible New York-based musicians when we did the Essentially Illington competition at Jazz at Lincoln Center. And I ended up in New York for school, and that was my home for about 12 years after high school.
All right, let's go back, though, to West Hartford for a second. First of all, you found your mom's flute in a drawer somewhere, right?
Yep.
So was your mom a flautist herself? Obviously.
She was, as a kid, okay. Just sort of through high school, I think.
Not a professional player.
No.
Huh.
No.
Okay.
But my dad is a professional musician, and he's a guitarist, and he was in the wedding bands and the house bands in the 90s in Connecticut. And that's how we made ends meet, was through his gigs. And he was a teacher at one of the guitar places, you know, where they buy guitars and teach guitar lessons. He said he had about 60 students a week at his max.
Mm.
He was a working, gigging dad.
Early on, when you are discovering music and music's coming into your ears, when does Erica von Kleist, the composer, come along?
I started experimenting with writing music when I was even in elementary school, middle school.
Do you remember the first thing you composed?
One of the first pieces I composed was a blues called Doin' the Ollie. And
I like this.
I had this cat, the most incredible cat. Orange tabby named Ollie, and when he ran, his back leg used to kick out to the side, and it was just the most hilarious thing. So I wrote this blues. I think I still have the sheet music somewhere. I think it went boop blah blah bum, boop blah blah bum, or something like you're kicking your leg out to the side while you're doing this. It's really kind of funny, and that was my first jazz tune.
And you wrote this in notation?
Yeah.
So how did you get the blat?
Well, you write a little grace note going up to the whatever the note was. And my teacher at the time, Chris Allen, helped me with it. And I remember I did my little rough draft. And then I did my handwritten manuscript copy. I sat there for a Sunday afternoon and made it really nice looking, you know. So that was my first tune.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Erica, getting to the New York jazz scene, I mean, this is, you talk to any jazz musicians, and they are reverent about the scene in New York. Talk about what that was like to enter that and to immerse yourself in that, not only from an educational standpoint in terms of Juilliard, you know, he says, raising his eyebrows, like, yeah, as if that's not enough, but also in immersing yourself in playing in some of the finest ensembles you can find there in town. Mm-hmm. Just talk about what was that like for you as a player, as a musician?
When I was in high school, I had posters on my wall of jazz, great jazz musicians. I had a poster of the Jazz and Lincoln Center Orchestra, Christian McBride, Joshua Redman, great current musicians. I mean, usually as a kid, you have Leonardo DiCaprio or Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but I had jazz musicians. I said, oh man, I want to play with these guys. So when I got to New York and I started actually meeting these musicians, it's really surreal. And to be not only a part of the scene as an up-and-coming student, but also to be able to play with them and get to know them, it's really a family. And everyone's kind of in it together. And to experience that coming from just sort of dreaming about it, it's like kind of like your dreams coming true.
Erica, I've spoken to a lot of female musicians who have their own very interesting and unique journeys as a female entering into that world, which can be very, you know, male dominated and very male centric. And I just wondered what your experience was, because obviously it seems to have worked very well for you, but I know that could have come with some unique experiences, just given that setting.
I think it's important to realize that people can deny you your gender, people can deny you your race, people can deny you the things that make you different, but people can never deny you your talent. And at the end of the day, be the best one on that stage. Be the most knowledgeable, be the most prepared, be the most professional. Because when you're different, you have that to overcome. When you walk in the door, you don't even have to bring your horn out. You have something, you're at a deficit just by some people's mindsets when they look at you. And the most important thing is just do what you do and do the best at what you do. And know when you're not doing the best for yourself and just be better. And that's how I've been able to overcome situations where I've felt marginalized. I felt overlooked. I felt discriminated against. And women and people of minority are going to find that in every situation. I've been very fortunate to have been around wonderful, loving people, and I can't really think of a ton of times where I've felt that. Mm-hmm. But when I have, and actually I experienced something very recently here in the Flathead, I just turn that into positivity. I turn that into positivity, and I make myself just shine through something like that. Discrimination turns into motivation for me.
Yeah, so experiences where you just are not taken as seriously. I mean, that's one of the things that I've heard is a common thing. And particularly for women who are players, you know, in parentheses, like that, who are just strong players. Mm-hmm. That's something that even as we sit here in 2018, it's kind of stunning to me, but it's very much a reality that's still a step that our culture needs to come to terms with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something very empowering about a strong player. And when it's a female, it's like, oh, wow, so that's actually, she's the one playing the solo, you know?
Well, and also for me, I'm breaching a lot of worlds in music business. I have a lot of music business projects up in the air right now. And to be taken seriously in a business context is a whole other can of worms. I mean, people can take me seriously on the bandstand, but being taken seriously at a meeting, when I'm speaking with somebody over the phone, don't interrupt me while I'm talking, consider my ideas. It's just this, I just, what I said, you walk in the door and you have this gender to overcome to mm-hmm. be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. But then you just do better. We'll be right back.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Erica von Kleist, flautist, saxophonist, pianist, composer, entrepreneur, author, many things. Let's get back to the composing part of it. Talk about what the compositional process is for you. You've played all these instruments. You mentioned in your earliest days when you're writing a blues for your cat that has a certain swish to her, to the way it walks around, you're composing music. For when you compose music, how does this work for you? Do you start with the piano? Do you start with one of your other instruments?
It kind of comes in like a tsunami for me. For the last few years, I really have not done much composing. I've been, my compositions have been my businesses. That's where my creative energy has gone. I feel like that is a composition unto itself, even though it's a different media. But musically, I haven't really been writing a ton, although I did do a couple commissions for the University of Scranton. And one of them was a concert band arrangement, and one of them was a choral piece. And I'm sure you're aware, but there was some incidents here in the Flathead Valley or in Whitefish involving a Jewish family, and there was all of this neo-Nazi stuff going on. So I wrote a piece called Silent March, and it's a choral piece, and I had never written lyrics before, but I remember I was down at the Red Room one night in Whitefish, a little basement bar, just having a glass of wine, and I just started writing my thoughts on the whole trolling thing that was happening, and I literally, in about 2 hours, had this choral piece written. It was my sort of way of expressing my emotions towards the situation. That was my first composition that had lyrics.
It seems like Montana has served as a really useful palette for you, you know, in a lot of different ways. And that being one of the, that kind of experience may not have happened, the compositional experience, if you hadn't been in a community that was going through those experiences as a community, you know, dealing with anti-Semitism.
These experiences I never would have had I not come out here. This place is a blank canvas. It really is. You can start projects. You can experiment with marketing ideas. Audiences and the community here is so game for anything. They're willing to check new stuff out. There's so much entrepreneurial spirit and creative spirit here, and it's really inspiring. I also know people who are not musicians. Back east, most of my scene, most of my social scene are all jazz musicians or Broadway musicians, which is fantastic. But here, some of my best friends are lawyers or architects or stay-at-home moms or mechanics. And these are people that I not necessarily would have integrated into my social scene. I'm learning so much about humanity from people here. I'm learning so much about what people listen for in music, why certain music resonates with people that aren't musicians. My ears are too trained. I can't listen to a song on the radio and appreciate the song. I'm listening to, oh my God, Christina Aguilera is so flat on that note. And meanwhile, people are going like, yeah, I love that song. And I'm just like, I can't hear it. But so I listen to the thoughts of others. I look and see which concerts are the most attended and why people are clapping, or why are they getting distracted and shifting in their seats when someone's playing? And why is that moment happening? So it's been a huge education.
Thank you. Erica, with all the different things that you are immersing yourself in professionally and musically, what are you doing for fun? You're in this fantastic area of the country, the Flathead Valley, next to Glacier National Park. What kind of things are you doing that don't involve music, that just gets you out into the world or maybe inside it in terms of reading or just what kind of stuff?
That lake we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
I jog to that lake every day and do my squats right on the waterfront right there. And I just get out into the sun and breathe the fresh air. I'm not a huge avid hiker. I don't really ski. I do some cross country skiing. I'm a bit of a homebody, but I love to read. I love to write. I love to practice piano. I mean, to just throw up some Chopin on my piano. That sounds really bad. Just to put some Chopin on my piano and play through it just for fun. Just to have the time to do that is really a blessing. So that's kind of what I do for fun. I hang out with my friends. I cook. I love to cook. So I got time to do that too.
ericavonkleist.com is the name of the website. I'm going to spell your name for listeners. E-R-I-C-A V-O-N-K-L-E-I-S-T.
Yes, and in the spirit of spelling my name correctly, there is a track from my album, Erica Von Kleist and No Exceptions, called Erica with a C.
I did notice that.
People spell my name with a K all the time. And so I wrote this particular song, and it features me on piccolo, because the piccolo cannot be denied. The piccolo will be heard anywhere it is.
I love that.
It brings a brass section to its knees. Yeah. So anyway, that's so if you need a reminder, it's Erica with a C.
That's great. That should be a bumper sticker. The piccolo will not be denied.
Exactly.
Outstanding. Well, a great time to be speaking with you and talking shop with you. As I said, the aforementioned website, newly updated, lots of great stuff going on in the world of Erica Von Kleist. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you, Erica.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Erica Von Kleist. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Lodge at Whitefish Lake for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.